the one thing I'm focused on is how can I be the best that I can be to help this team win.
Today on the Rising Coaches podcast, we got the opportunity to speak with a Rising Coaches member and current assistant men's basketball coach at Purdue University Northwest, Coach Kendall Aldridge. Coach Aldridge has a great career path for young coaches as he has started in the high school ranks at Decatur Central High School, as well as various other high school positions, and ultimately landed his first NCAA Division III coaching gig with Houghton College. Following Houghton, Kendall gets a position where he currently stands at Division II Purdue University Northwest. Kendall is definitely a coaching name on the rise, so please welcome Coach Kendall Aldridge. Video analysis is expensive and your budget probably isn't getting much bigger. Fulcrum Tech is here to help. Used by basketball teams at all levels from Division I all the way to high school, their Angles product is very similar to what you know and allows you to code, capture, and analyze with ease. All you have to do is import the raw video in Synergy with just the click of a mouse. Over the past 2 years, over 60% of Division I teams in conferences such as the SEC, Pac-12, American, NBC, and A-10, just to name a few, have made the postseason, all while using Fulcrum Tech and saving thousands and thousands of dollars compared to their old companies. Reach out to Fulcrum Tech on X at Fulcrum Tech or their sales@fulcrumtech.com. Just shoot them over an email and be sure to mention if you are a Rising Coaches member. Do more, spend less with Fulcrum Tech. Welcome, welcome, and good morning, everybody, to another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast. We got Doug Caputo and Alan Major here, and today we have ourselves another member spotlight as we are speaking with the current assistant men's basketball coach at Purdue University Northwest, Coach Kendall Aldridge. Kendall, what's going on?
Not much, man. Not much. I appreciate being here today. Thanks to Rising Coaches, you and Alan, for having me on.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate you.
Of course. We always happy to let people get on here, especially you, Kendall. I know there's been numerous people that have been on here and I've said, oh yeah, this is somebody who we've, you know, chatted with for a couple years. Kendall is one of those guys that I connected with through Rising Coaches. And then we literally just hopped on Zoom calls and stuff. But yeah, here we are a couple of years later. And I can't wait for everybody to actually hear his story because it's unique. And it definitely, I feel like this is one that a lot of people can relate to. But before I even get into any of that, we'll just jump right into kind of where you're at currently. So your official title is the facilities and events coordinator, correct? As well as an assistant coach. So what all does that, I mean, obviously the assistant side of things, but what all does that position entail as well with that?
For sure. Yeah, obviously the assistant duties, that which I'm sure we'll touch on majority of the podcast, but the facilities and events coordinator basically is one night a week, I close the facilities. I'm basically, you know, just standing guard and making sure the place doesn't burn down. And I'm doing that one night a week, which is actually good. It's every Monday night. So like I recruit, I can do my scout, you know what I mean? So I got to be there. So I make the most out of that portion of it. And then the other portion is out of season, I do the softball games, volleyball games, and just all the other games that are in the facilities, just making sure like the referees are getting where they're supposed to be and things like that.
Yeah, it's funny. I coach Division III, man, and I wore a bunch of different hats, man. I ran the clock at men's and women's soccer games. I had three kids rotating on a skill instruction deal on Saturday mornings. I was a volleyball ref, believe it or not. I was like, and then you screw up a call and you know, hey, what's going on? I'm like, hey man, side hustle here. Leave me alone.
Just doing this because I have to.
For sure. So, sure.
I know what it means to wear some different hats, man. But it's great because, I mean, you know, guys want to come in, get some shots up, be around at night. Like, I mean, that's a great thing too, right? I mean, just being accessible.
Exactly. Yep, and just around more because obviously with coaching, like, there's just so much that needs to be done. So sometimes my mom's like, what do you do all day? Draw plays? And I'm like,
if she only knew.
I wish.
Sometimes, like you said, Alan, we'll do a workout and then we'll have dinner in the office while we're watching some film or something. You know what I mean? So like, It's just it's more time that I can just really put in with the guys if need be, or do whatever needs to be done around campus.
Time with the fellas is never wasted, man.
One day a week staying in the office might actually be a good thing too, because it's just kind of like you said, like it lets you sit down and you're like, all right, well, I gotta be here, so let's just get some stuff done. It kind of clears your mind a little bit instead of having to be there until 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you're like, oh, this is just draining me. Like, you know, you have to be there.
Absolutely. And it starts the week. So yeah, we'll take it.
Talk about, and the reason I said that your road to where you are now is relevant to a lot of people, because you started in high school. So I wanted to talk about like your experiences rising from, and correct me on the pronunciation here, but Decatur High School, Central High School.
Yep.
And then that's your first coaching gig to now you're a full-time D2 and assistant. And in between there, you know, you took various steps from, you go from one high school to another high school. Then you go to the Houghton D3, where we initially met. And then now you take a step up to D2. So it's very relevant to a lot of people. It's definitely climbing the ladder. Just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, man. So at Decatur, I was a volunteer. I was just figuring it out. I knew I loved the game and I wanted to stay around it. So I was really just a butt slapper and towel waver and whatever I could do.
Get back, coach.
just figuring it out. I didn't know exactly what I was doing. I knew I was having a good time. Seemed like the guys liked me around and John liked me around. But Decatur was good for me just because John Ashworth was my high school teammate. And he got the head coaching job at, I think he was 25. Oh. And so I just got to watch every day from a prep standpoint of what it takes to win. And like playing in Indiana basketball, like obviously we prep, but like you're a player, you know, you go into practice, then once you go leave out of the locker room, it's kind of left your mind until it's time to go again. But John did a good job of building a staff for me to learn from. I still talk to those guys. I still go back and now Serb, who was the head assistant when I was there, is the head coach. So it kind of launched me of like, man, this is pretty cool. The impact that you can make on the guys around you and how just nice the job is from an impact standpoint. And then that led me to a couple high school jobs in Arizona, which I really enjoy working for Moose and Vic. And it just kind of, it launched me, man. Like it's always going to be a part of my story where I'm learning who I am. And I'm learning what the coaching profession kind of takes, to be great at it.
Let me ask you this, Kendall, when did you, was it somebody that inspired you to maybe want to get into coaching, or was it, when did you kind of have that, you know, we all kind of have that moment where we kind of like, man, this is maybe not for sure, like, this is what I want to do, but like, where you really get lit up, you know, like who was that for you? And when was that time for you? Like,
I think the first person to bring it up to me was my mom. And it was just kind of loosely, it was kind of loosely, like she knew I really loved the game. And sometimes there's too many times in college where like, guys are in a major, but they don't really want to be in that major for the next 50 years.
Picked it because they got to pick one.
Exactly. Like if I'm going to do something for 4 years, I'll do that, but I don't really want to do that.
Right.
And that was, if I'm being honest, you know, I was a physical education major and I could see myself doing that for a little bit. But ultimately, I didn't think that was really where I wanted to land. And my mom knew how much I loved the game. And she hit me with a list of questions, basically like, where'd you learn all your lessons? It was like basketball, you know, like it just always came back to basketball. And so like, she just kind of left that on me. And I'm like, okay, well, I think this is where I really want to go with it, which led me to coaching and asking to volunteer at Decatur, which led me to coaching with Vic out in Arizona and wanting to do this full time. You know, that's kind of where it came from. I would say my mom, just with a simple, it was one night at dinner. I remember it was one night at dinner with some questions. She probably doesn't even remember, but.
That's cool, man. I love that stuff. I mean, everybody's journey is so unique, but it all, you know, Doug and I say it out here all the time. Like, you know, there's a moment where you kind of, once you see it, then you got to kind of tell yourself like, okay, I'm just going to do whatever it takes. Cause I kind of know this is what I want to do, but how do I get there? You know, then there's that uneasiness or uncertainty of how do I get there? But then like, once you kind of get the tiniest little crack pinky toe in the door type of deal, which that's what Decatur was. I mean, you know, I live in Indy, so I know exactly where you were, you know, that pinky toe in the door moment, you know, pinky toe becomes second toe. Then all of a sudden big toe.
You're just jamming that door open.
then half a foot, then the heel. So
right, and all of a sudden I'm here.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. That's and you're just getting started. That's the beauty of it. You're just getting started, man. So I know I'm excited to see, you know, where everything goes from here. So thanks for sharing that. That's beautiful.
Absolutely. I appreciate that, Alan.
Yeah. And it shows your hard work has definitely paid off throughout the years. The one thing I really want to point out, especially in that, now 6 years is a lot shorter than some people even have this opportunity to go to high school, to college. Some people might wait like their whole lives to be able to make it into college. But for you, I feel like the big thing, a lot of people, or at least a lot of kids nowadays, I'll even say I'm a culprit of it, instant gratification. You know, some people are like, why am I not playing right away when they come in as a freshman? There's multiple kids that I can say, at least with my team, but I know that's everywhere. Like, why am I not playing, or why am I not getting this coaching gig or this college coaching gig? It's just like it takes time, and you're proof of it too. It took you 6 years to be able to grow in your profession and just get it to a Division II position. But then on top of that, you know, you're not done. That's the best part of it. You're still a young coach and still working hard, still moving up. So just the instant gratification part of it is – that's kind of what spews out to me the most. But the one thing I want to make sure to cover too is, like, what was one thing in your mindset that you were focused on to help you grow while you were moving up from the ranks? So, like, starting in the high school and then moving up, like, what was a couple of things that was just kind of going through your mindset and some things that helped you get those connections to move up?
The one thing I'm focused on is, how can I be the best that I can be to help this team win? In all honesty, you know, like, I never – It's especially hard in college because everybody's always asking, like, what's next? You know, even my family, like, where are you going next? And I'm like,
right. You're like, hey, we got a game tonight. That's where I'm going.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. So everybody's heard, like, just try to be where your feet are. And that's not exactly — those words are not what I was thinking back then, but like, that's what it was. Like, when I was at Decatur, I was going to be the best towel waver I could be. I was going to be the best butt slapper I can be. And I was a little closer to those guys in age. So, like, you know, when they got pulled out of the game and they went down to the water bottle station down there and they had a little attitude, I was the guy that had to go talk to them. I was trying to do that. Another thing I tried to do while I was there is, like, I tried to be prepared for anything I was asked to do. Like, nobody really asked me any questions. But, like, if they asked me a defensive coverage question, I was going to be ready. You know what I mean? I remember I had a backdoor set. Like, if Coach Tate ever needed something, and when there was one day he needed it, and it worked. You know what I mean? Like, I took that one time, Alan. That's all I needed.
Yeah, that's right.
But, like, I just star in your role where you are. Just be the best that you can possibly be is what my mindset has always been, because I can't worry about where I'm going to be next year or in 3 years, or, you know what I mean? Like, that's just not me. I couldn't lead our team the way I'm supposed to lead them if I'm worried about other things outside of what's going to help us win today, right? So just taking it day by day. Somebody told me, Coach James, my high school coach, told me, he's like, every day is an interview. And I hated to hear that when I was in high school. That's probably the one thing that went through my mind a lot, was like, when I got to Maya with Moose, like, every day is an interview. If he asks you to do something, there's no job that's too small, because we're doing laundry. You know, I'm driving the bus or the van back then. Like,
oh yeah.
I try to say yes to everything that makes sense. You know what I mean? So that's probably the biggest thing, just treating every day like it was an interview, as much as I hated to hear that when I was 18.
And then we'll talk on, like, your current team. So where you stand now, like, what would you say is your guys' identity? Like, are you a fast pace? Are you defensive minded? Are you, you know, just what is your team's identity currently?
Before the floor, it starts with — I'm wearing it on my shirt. Like, our head coach, Mark Roberts, is a big family guy. A lot of people say that about their programs. But he is actually, like, in his real life, you know, like, some days he leaves shoot around a little early so he can get to his son's games. Like, that dude doesn't miss his son's games. He's a real life family man. And just instilling those family values into our guys and me and X, our other assistant, has been good. So, like, I think it starts with that. Like, we have a different level than I've ever seen, or we even have recruits tell us sometimes. We've had a recruit the visiting team at another gym come up to us and tell us that we just had a different level of family and love on our team. So I think it starts with that. And then after that, we're a fast-paced team that likes to share the sugar. That's what we're known for in our league. We normally recruit really, really fast athletes, get them out in space, and let them do their thing. So it comes with a lot of freedom. Sometimes it looks a little hectic, especially early on, you know what I mean? But like, we recruit a lot of athletes, and just we recruit to what we like, which is shooting and speed, and decision making, and we share the sugar and we see where the chips fall.
What about defensively? Are you guys pretty much man? You mix in some zone, press some?
Yeah, we're a pressure team. We've scaled back just a little bit over the last couple years, but we're a pressure team. We're among the league leaders in pace for sure. So yeah, we're 94 feet. You throw it in, we're up under your chin. Is what I like to say. You know what I mean? And it's an annoyance. We used to be a denial team. Now we're not a pack line team, but we're more in the help. We don't say gap here.
Yeah, a little bit more gap based. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, we still pressure the ball. And get after guys that way.
You know, it's interesting. It's hard anymore to really get out and get your back to the ball and deny just because skill level is so much better, yep. Right? Like over the past X amount of years, let's just say 10, you know, 15 even, you know, guys, kids start with the ball in their hand earlier. There's more you stuff, which leads to more personal training, coach stuff. You know, yeah. Guys are handling the ball that, you know, so the ability for guys to just play make is really changed. And so,
man,
to get out and have four guys like just trying to cut off all the water, like, and putting that one guy on an island,
yeah, right?
It's hard because, you know, just dudes are just so much better at getting by each other. So, is that why you guys changed a little bit?
Did you notice, I think our personnel changed a little bit. Like we don't have, you know, 6'10" freaky athlete at the rim anymore. We changed our personnel a little bit offensively. So basically we have a Jokic, and we call him our Joker spot at the five. So that's somewhat what changed it. And then I think honestly, you know, like the rules are changing a little bit. So like as that happens, you kind of got to adjust, but like, in my heart of hearts and in Boone's heart of hearts, like, he is a pressure deny, like, screw up whatever they're running, you know, make a player go make a play. But it's become a little more difficult. So instead of banging our head against the wall and trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, we've adjusted a little bit. And it's been good for us. It's been good for us specifically in the half court. We're a big time half court team. We know what it was going to take for us to be a good defensive team. And the glass was a big one. Up until we had a tough spurt the last week and a half, but we were top 40 in the country in rebounding margin. That's been an undersized team. So we got off of it for a little bit, but the last couple games we've been pretty good. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, Alan, it's becoming a little bit more hard with the skill level and everything, but we're going to find a way like we started out talking about.
Yeah, no, I love it. No, it's – you guys are – what I love about what you're saying is – If I was a high school kid and I'm thinking about you guys, you just described like your identity, you know, from the inside out, right? Like just from how you live to how you play. And that's really what, you know, kind of having a culture is like, how do we live first? And then how do we play? Because if the way we live is jacked up, then the way we're playing is not going to be far behind. So
absolutely. Only a matter of time.
Yeah. So, you know, that shirt means something, because what I love is it sounds like you guys live it. I mean, there's a million t-shirts all over the country, right? But how many people actually commit to living that out and making it real?
Yeah.
That's the difference. I mean, yeah.
We get a lot of transfers in here, and literally we got guys, you know, the first week, like, hey coach, this is the most I've been in a coach's office since I've been in college.
Right. And not been in trouble. You know?
Right, exactly. Not because I had to. But yeah, it's a big deal here. It's a big, like, you can't work for Boom if you're not truly invested in the guys. So yeah, like, one thing that makes us different as a coaching staff is we call it in the fight. So we condition with our athletes, we strength train with our athletes. Sometimes I'm in scout and we're busting their tail in practice.
You jump in still?
Oh yeah. Oh what?
Oh, come on.
Every now and then you gotta light a guy up just to kind of remind
him. Just to let him know. Just to keep him on the toes. Yeah.
Oh, and we don't wait, Doug. We don't wait. We on their recruiting visit, we play threes and we don't lose. Why are you laughing? We don't lose.
No, I love it. I might have to start picking up some of your tendencies.
Which is good. It's good for us because, I mean, we're all still young enough to get out there and do that. But it just builds a different, you know how it is when you get out and really compete with some guys, you know what I mean? You just find a different level of respect from their competitive nature. So the guys see that first, like I told you, recruiting visit, they see that. And they hear it from the guys. The guys obviously see it every day in practices. And we're not necessarily in fives all the time, but like if it's a scout segment, X and I might be in. If it's a shooting competition, we might be in and we're just competing. So it just, that's another way for us to build, like how you spell love, T-I-M-E, right? We're spending more time with our guys on the floor and being in a fight.
And then I wanted to ask, because one thing that you mentioned like a couple minutes ago was you were one of the top in the nation for rebounding. So I kind of wanted to circle back to that because, like, what's something, and you don't have to give away all the secrets, but, like, what's something that you work on, maybe on a day-to-day or, like, practice that kind of helped get to that?
I think more than anything, it was just what you emphasize, you know? Like, we looked at our team from day one before we even had a practice. Like, all right, like, we're a little undersized. Yeah. You know,
so yeah, like, and that's not changing.
You know? Right. No, exactly. Dude ain't growing. So like we from day one, we knew we took a staff trip to Baylor this summer and we spent the week just watching what they do and how they practice and how they prepare over the summer. And that was good for us. Specifically, we saw our team and we went to a drawing board. Literally, we're up at a drawing board. All right, we got this player, this player, this player. This is our personnel. These are our strengths. This is our weaknesses. And when you look at those weaknesses, you're like, all right, we're gonna have to rebound the ball. So it's about what you emphasize, right? So from day one, we just put it out on Front Street. You are 6'7", you are 6'7", you are 6'8", you know what I mean? And those are our fives. You're gonna have to play against 6'10", 6'11", 7 foot. Right. So how are we going to do that? It's no secret. Teams know we front the post. So how do we work on it? Is first we emphasize it. And then honestly, I love it. We call it two box outs. You got to get three in a row and it's man on man and you got to get three in a row. Right. So it's 3-on-3. The defense stays in until you get three stops. Right. Coach it. And it's just like those football drills where you kind of line up and
Oklahoma. Right, Oklahoma drill. That's right. Yeah, no way out. There's one way out.
You ain't coming out until you actually get it.
There's one way out. There's one way out. And now guys, like, they just take pride in it. It used to be like, I won't lie to you, like, the first month, two box outs again for fourth day in a row. It's kind of like you kind of just feel that gasp in them. And now you say it, even in February. You guys are like, woo, let's go.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
So I think that's the biggest thing. It's about what you get what you emphasize and guys start taking pride and stuff like that.
That's one of those things where, especially if you're an undersized or you're like a point guard or something, you're coming into the drill and you're like, shit, here we go again. Right.
6'7", yeah, like on my side.
I'm dreading this one, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then you get caught and then just going after 5, 6, 7 turns.
Yeah, it's so good though, man. Just specifically, obviously the box out and the rebound, but the mental battle. You just got two in a row. You got two in a row, then you didn't get one. Then you got one, then you didn't get it. Then you got two in a row again, and it's a loose ball, and the defense the offense dove on it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Oh man,
you really gotta find it within, and then you really got. It can't just be about yourself because when it's just about yourself, you might give up just a little bit. It's got to be about those boys around you. So it's great, man. I love it.
Well, then the beauty of it is now when a game comes and you hit pause and you pause a block out and there's five bodies on five bodies.
Yep.
You're like,
yep.
This is what we're talking about, guys. Right. Exactly. Like, and then you win a game because of a 50-50 ball, you know, yep. Huge play late in the game, you know, up two, you get that stop, you snatch it now that you get fouled, and you know you're going to go make two free throws. Like, now when you can reinforce what you've been preaching through games and success, and now that thing is fed on itself now. So you guys have created like a beautiful monster in that regard. Yeah.
Well, he's basically a volunteer assistant, but he tracks box outs each game. So like, your safeties, your box outs, your crashes. He puts a number on it. You had 17 opportunities and you did it 9 times. You know what I mean? And there's a percentage. And like he's been doing that each week. And so now it's to the point, literally, we play tonight, I might wake up to a text like, ah, like a screenshot. Like, ah, I missed this box out, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's a beautiful thing. Guys really start, I mean, once I start seeing how well we were out rebounding team, I'm just like, wow, how? And this is how. Like, it starts with showing them those numbers. It starts with those two box outs. It starts with that conversation we had in September.
Yeah, exactly right.
Good to see it all come together. But, I mean, we got a lot longer to go, but we've been solid so far.
And I ask that too, especially because, I mean, one, I completely agree. It's a lot of it's a mentality. It doesn't matter if you're the shortest guy on the floor. Sometimes, I mean, there's been teams, high school teams that I've been with or prep school teams, the point guard was one of the best rebounders. And it was just because he didn't care. He was going after it. But we have a kid right now who is 6'2", long arms. His hands are huge and they're strong. But, like, when the ball goes up, he's fourth in the conference right now behind 6'8", 6'8", and 6'7" for rebounding. And he's a 6'2" guard. And it's just like, how do you get – and he just, you know, it's just – one, it's a sense of being at the right place at the right time, having that ability to be able to be there, but then just tracking it down and getting it. But it's just – it's impressive. It's so impressive. So that's why I didn't know if there was something that you guys instilled, like, for the whole team.
That kid must have played some 21 growing up.
A lot. He had to have. Yeah.
That's how you develop a nose for it, man. You play 21, like, you just get a nose.
That's all I played growing up.
Yeah.
All I played growing up.
You say 21 now, guys are like, what, 21? Yeah, that mean make 21 threes after practice? What's that mean?
21 catches
California.
Seven spots.
Hey, man, 21, man, 21. That was the game, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So do you guys film all of your practices or, like, maybe preseason, post – or not postseason, preseason? Do you film them all?
Early on in the fall we do.
Okay.
We watch it pretty much, you know, and they're short film sessions, some film sessions. So, like, we in the fall, we practice, let's say, 5 days before we start playing. And then we will film every practice, and then we will watch segments the next day before the next practice. But now in February, it's honestly, we don't, our practices are really simple. You know, we're not going to film two box outs. Like, guys know what it is. We know who we are now. Yeah. We know why we win and why we lose. You know what I mean? And so, honestly, it's a little bit more about keeping bodies fresh now. You're practicing, but it might just be three trips, you know, just to kind of see the looks that you're getting in the half court and transition, and then whatever you see, you just kind of come back and talk about it. Maybe one day a week we might film practice right now, but literally, I mean, I told you Doug we left yesterday morning for a road trip on Wednesday. We practiced when we got here, so we didn't film that. We'll play today, we'll practice tomorrow at Northern Michigan. And then we'll play there on Saturday. So it's just, honestly, there's not a lot of practice time to keep bodies fresh.
Yeah, plus you're so focused on game footage now anyway. You know, like the game footage really gives you, you know, the information that you're looking for at this point.
Got a vet group. So, like, they learn through film a lot. Like, they engage in film conversations. So that helps as well.
I've had coaches in the past say that they'll sneakishly record one practice a week or something like that, and you don't know which one it is. So it's like you always got to be up pace, or you know the eye in the sky is watching you.
For sure. I would love if we could always do it, but small college basketball. We got 9,000 students, so that's not small college, but, like, it's in terms of budget and the help that we have around. If somebody's recording. Is recording with us, you know. We don't have, like, a GA or a manager to do those things, so it's a little harder with us.
Yeah. One thing I kind of want to ask too is, like, the toughest team that you have played this year, if you want to say a name, that's up to you, but then what makes them specifically tough? Like, what are some of the identity or maybe, like, the tendencies that make them tough so far this year?
One team, I don't mind saying a name, especially because we won that game, but Ferris was
of course.
Ferris is always tough. Ferris State is always tough. They won the national title a few years ago. They got a ton of talent, and they play at the same pace as we do. They got a bunch of guys that can shoot it, make decisions. They can dunk it on you. They pressure you, trap you, and so, like, they play a similar style to us. So it's kind of like practice in a sense, where you're just like, all right, let's see what we got.
Right.
And they're just tough. They're bigger than we are. You know, they got a 7-footer, but they're tough. And I think they move around like they know who they are, right? Like, they just won the national title a few years ago. They just know who they are. And Purdue Northwest, to be honest, we haven't even been Division II that long. So, like, we're building our history, and they have theirs. And so, like,
yeah,
those preparing for those games feels different because they're really good, they're physical, they're smart, and they know who they are.
Yeah, the beauty of that though is like they, without trying, they've kind of given you guys a blueprint in a way because you're trying to get what they got ultimately. You know, sure. You're trying to really. So it's funny that you're definitely playing a team in the mirror. It sounds like when you play those guys.
Yeah, and we don't hide from who we are. You know, like we don't try to pretend Purdue Northwest has this long history of Division II success. We're building it right now. We tell recruits, like, I mean, when anybody comes in here, whether you're ranked or not, which they were, it doesn't matter. Like we are being who we are. But at the same time, like you said, Alan, like we see, like, okay, they play this style, we play this style. This works for them. Maybe it doesn't work for us. You know what I mean? But like at the end of the day, it's man on man. We're gonna prepare like none other, and we're gonna see what happens.
And then the final one I have before we cut to our final segment, unless Al has something, is really just, as we mentioned before, so you're a Rising Coaches member. And one thing that we always want to kind of just ask and give an honest answer, like being a Rising Coaches member, how has it benefited you? And then like, just kind of talk about being with the organization.
Honestly, before I got into Rising Coaches, I was kind of like, all right, what is this thing? Like, is it just another, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, yep. Is it just another
the same thing way
that you sign up for? You might get an email or something like that. And I wasn't too sure, but I liked the content that was coming out. So I kind of just jumped in and it's been great, man. Like Doug, so basically during COVID, we had these group chats with all levels of guys. You know, there was NBA coaches, there was D3 coaches, which I was at the time. There was Division II head coaches. And we would just meet up via Zoom and like really just talk hoops. And I'm not, till this day, I don't think I've met any of you in person.
Nope.
Hey, I don't think I met any. Like, those are my guys. Like Doug can call me on a random Wednesday over the summer, and like we can talk for 45 minutes to an hour just about what's coming on, what's going on in life, and all that good stuff. So it's been a good connecting tool for me because I wasn't always great at that. If I'm being honest, you know, like I could see a coach out, and I would speak to you, how you doing, you know, but I'm not gonna like. Or back then, especially, I wouldn't like dive in a deep conversation or ask you about, you know, how you guys are playing or anything like that. And it's helped my ability to do that, because one reason, I think I heard Jonesy say this, like it's easy to kind of network even or below, but sometimes it can be a little harder up. So like it's helped me with that. Now I can see, I've literally since then I've had conversations with Division I head coaches just because they're sitting next to me at a game, you know, like. It's helped me build, or it's helped me with confidence building those relationships, just networking and getting outside of my own bubble. Like, I actually care what's going on with Mayberg, Doug, you know, like in his squad, uh-huh. And your squad. Like I'll look at some scores just to make sure you guys are doing okay. So it's just helped me in terms of networking, obviously, but just building relationships.
No, I love that. I completely agree. I mean, it, like you said, you haven't even met half the people, and then you're still sitting here and you talk to them on a day-to-day basis. I got everybody, you know, we still got to get that group chat. We still send a text every now and then. Hey, we got to meet up again. It's like everybody's just been kind of.
Final four, baby. Let's do it.
I'll be there. But now, Al, I guess I should ask Al, do you have any final questions real quick before we hop into the final segment?
No, man, this has already been a home run, so I'm not going to jack it up by, you know, trying to think of something else. So, no, this has been fantastic.
So what we'll do is we'll cut to the final segment at three quick hitters, basically three quick questions, and then just give your honest answers off of them, and then we'll tie it all up with a final question at the end. So sure. The first one is, what is a characteristic or trait that you feel separates you or maybe not separates you from everybody else, all the other coaches, but maybe just something that makes you more unique?
I think one thing that makes me unique is like, it's a blessing and a curse, right? Like, I'm not a super emotional guy. So like the house can be on fire and my mind's triggering. All right, how do I get out? How do I get my family out? You know, like, but again, the house can be on fire. My wife's like, the house is on fire. Like, don't you realize what's going on? So like I try do my best to kind of stay in the moment, no matter how big or how small. Like, just I'm more of an even keeled guy, Our guys might not say that sometimes if they miss a box out or mess up a ball screen coverage.
Right.
Yeah, as long as you don't mess up a ball screen coverage, I'm even keel. So I think that's my thing that kind of, as I look around the coaching landscape, you know, I see guys that are more fiery and guys that aren't as fiery at all. I'm probably somewhere in the middle. I try to be a little bit more even keel.
And then for the second one would be, like, what's a pet peeve you have in coaching? So, in other words, what's something that players can do that you're just – that's, like, your number one thing they know that you're just going to get triggered?
How long we got?
That's a whole other episode. That's another episode altogether.
Yeah, I gave you one. I can't stand if you got one coverage and you can't – and you don't call it, that drives me up a wall. One thing I hate, like if we just got an alley-oop dunk, we got to get back in transition. We can't give up an open three or a layup on the other end. That stuff drives me crazy. You know what I mean? And I didn't even realize that about myself, but like our guys tell me. So every year we do skits at the beginning of the year. We draft a bunch of teams and we just, like we've been talking about, we compete. The coaches have a team and each of the guys have a team of four. And we do like a bunch of games and we track the scores. But at the end of the first night, they do skits and basically make fun of the coaches is what it always, you can make fun of whoever you want, but they make fun of the coaches. I think it was my second year here. One of the guys got me on that. Like they act like they got a layup and then got it out and did something on the other end. And I went crazy, but like, that's probably my deal. Like we can't give up open threes after, you know, we just got a momentum play.
And then the last one is more kind of towards a recruiting tech or standpoint. But like when you're recruiting, what's one thing that if you see a kid maybe in a game or outside, it's like one thing that that really turns you off from recruiting that kid?
I can't do the guys who the body language. If you're waving your teammates or your coaches off or anything like that. Like we talked, family is a big deal here for us. And if I'm being honest, it won't always be like I will just never talk to the kid again, especially if I had formed a relationship before. Right. It's been to the point where I'll call him after, like, hey, man, what is this? You know what I mean? Like, we don't do that here. I know for a fact your coach isn't wanting you to do that. That's not helping you win because none of us are perfect. You know, I might have caught a bad game, but that's one thing. Like, we don't do the disrespecting of your coaches, your teammates, obviously women. The things I do like, though, can I touch on something I do like real quick?
Sure. Go ahead.
I love guys with defensive instinct. Sometimes the ball, guys just have a knack. I think one of you were talking about it, like getting your nose on the ball, getting a hand on the ball. Like, I love that stuff as far as on the floor. And then the very first thing I want to know is, like, do you truly even love basketball? It's really hard. Like, coaching, playing, it does not matter. If you don't love what you do, especially for us, because we got a high-level expectation of competing and putting work in. So we really go after dudes that love hoops. Like all of our guys just love being in, even if they're just watching their teammate and they might just be stretching in the gym, you know, but like we want guys that we don't got to pull teeth to get in the gym. Like you're calling me, blow me up. Hey coach, can we get in at 6 a.m. before the bus leaves? Yes, let's do it. That's probably the biggest thing. It's hard to win with guys that don't love hoops, especially here.
Yeah. And the beauty of that is when guys love it, you can never ask them to do too much.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, they might ask you to do too much. Like, man, I gotta see.
Which is fine. That's good problems. That's good problems.
That's what we want to have. Exactly.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And especially at the Division II, Division III levels, when, and I'll speak more on the Division III levels, is when people aren't getting necessarily the TV time or the NIL deals or all that stuff, you know, those big things that everybody's hearing about. It's like you really have to love it at that point. It's more in the heart rather than anything else, because like when you're at the Dukes, the North Carolinas, like don't get me wrong, I'm sure all those guys love it to death, but they get a lot more publicity and people know their name, so that kind of makes it a little more enjoyable. But you're a Division III.
You'd be surprised, Doug.
Some cats
are playing just because they're tall.
Well, yeah. Oh no, I completely agree with that.
So, you're tall, you're
but I'm just saying the publicity wise.
Yeah, the perks. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. No, there's a purity in what Kendall and what they're building and at that level. And I remember it. You got it now, Doug. Division III. I started coaching Division III. There's a purity in that gym, you know, because of the lack of all the other stuff. Like you know, guys made a decision of why they want to be there, and it's not based on other stuff except just loving the hoop.
And then, Kendall, I guess the final question I have to wrap things up is, if you had to narrow down to one best piece of advice for young rising coaches, and then how can they accomplish that piece of advice trying to grow in the industry?
Yeah, sure. The one thing I would say is just be a lifelong learner. I heard that when I was in college, and I thought it was so corny. And now I'm literally, I don't ever want to get to the point where it's like I told you guys, we were a denial team, and now we're not. Like, I don't ever want to get to the point where it's like, oh yeah, we do that because that's how you win games, right? There's different ways to skin a cat. Like, there's pressure teams, there's denial teams, there's pack line teams. There's teams that play through the big, there's teams that play through the guards, the wings. So like, never be the guy where it's like, this is how it's done. Like, this is the only way it can be done. Like, always be able to evolve over time, and ask questions, you know? And so one way to do that is you kind of got to do things like rising coaches. You got to find a community of guys who are surrounded in the same lifestyle as you. And what those group chats has been for me, Doug, like Menelik was so good in those group chats. Cause like, he thinks so much different than me. Like Menelik, yeah. Originally he would say stuff and I'm like, what? And then I would talk to him after, and there was a method to the madness, you know what I mean? And So like, he helped grow by thinking completely different than me. But you have to be willing to ask questions. You have to be willing to join communities like Rising Coaches and kind of put yourself out there. And then the last thing would probably be like, if you can get to things like the Final Four, there's conventions and things like that.
Clinics.
Yeah. Like, there's like, get out to those and don't just be there and for the fun. Like, obviously that's a part of it too, but like, get there and ask questions. Like, this is my last thing, I promise, but Rising Coaches had one a couple years ago in Chicago, and man, that was really good for me. They had Coach Bailey was his name. He was with the Pistons. I think he's with Ohio State now, but we just had great conversations, and like, he just helped my defensive mind a little bit, just with certain teaching points. And then philosophies that he had. Just getting yourself out there, joining communities and asking questions and being a lifelong learner, I think is the best thing you can do.
That's putting a bow on it right there, man. That was nice.
You can't grow if you're sitting on your couch all day.
You cannot. Even though I do enjoy a good Sunday, sit on the couch, watch some football. I enjoy that.
Well, I mean, every day, right?
Yeah, that's just insanity. That's just for straight sanity. Yeah. No question.
I agree though, Doug.
So I guess Al, Kendall, anybody have any final comments before we get to the closing remarks here?
No, just again, Kendall, just want to say thank you, man. Number one, for just taking the time to jump on here. And we know you're busy. Good luck tonight. And then also just thank you for being a member of Rising Coaches, man. This is obviously, when Doug and I became a part of this, it was already special. And, you know, we're just trying to leave it better than we found it, you know, whenever that day comes. But it's guys like you that really make this thing work. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. we can't put out what we're trying to promote and build, you know, without guys like yourself that want to jump in and be a part of it. So we appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, man. It's been good. I listen to you guys on my recruiting trips and try to pull some things from each combo. And you guys do a good job of keeping it light, but also, you know, teaching at the same time and kind of getting guys' stories out there. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Well,
thank you, Kendall. Happy to have you, brother. And that does it. Again, Kendall Aldridge, thank you very much for sharing everything. That does it for another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Doug Caputo and Alan Major here, logging off. Keep working. Keep rising, coaches. Take care, everyone. Prepare your team for success this season with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball, the official number one selling shooting machine in basketball. If you're looking to transform and focus your team's training efforts, all you have to do is mention Rising Coaches or tell them we sent you with the Rising Coaches Podcast. For an additional $300 off, select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.